All right, let's go in our Bibles tonight. We're going to continue to study what the Bible says about the conscience. So if you turn with me, we'll go back to where we started. We'll go back there for a moment. And 1 Timothy chapter 1, it talks about the conscience, and it's a very important verse in the Bible. 1 Timothy 1, 19. And verse 18, talking about warring, a good warfare. And we are in a spiritual battle. In fact, as I've been using the Victory Journal in my Bible reading, I thought, well, there's one category that we need to have here that we don't have. And almost every day when I read in the Bible, there's something about how Satan is opposing the work of God. And many times we forget that Satan is always in opposition to whatever God's plan is and God's work and God's workers. And that's something that we should always be thinking about. The Bible says we are in a warfare. Verse number 18, the last phrase, by them mightest war a good warfare. Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. And you know what? I guarantee you that there's people here tonight that aren't even thinking about the devil. They aren't even thinking about the devil, and they aren't thinking that the devil is already distracting them and making them think about something other than the Word of God, because it's thinking, making them think it's not important. Well, the devil is a pretty old, sly old fox, isn't he? And he is always opposing the work of God and the people of God. The Bible says we're in a warfare, and the Bible says because we're in a warfare, it says that there's two important things that we need to do, verse 19. It says, holding faith. Now, the context here is the whole idea, holding the truth of the Word of God. And we are living in a day of apostasy. A turning away from the Word of God. And it's in the air. You need to understand that, young person. It's in the air. It says, holding faith and a good conscience. Well, what's a good conscience? You know what a good conscience is? A good conscience is a conscience that works. You know, it works. And when you're thinking a bad thought, the conscience says, don't. When you're around the wrong people, the conscience says, don't. When you're being tempted, the conscience says, don't. When the authority is out of the room and you start thinking what you might do, the conscience says, don't. That's a good conscience. And when you go against your conscience, the conscience says, You sin. Can't get away from it. That's a good conscience. The Bible says you have to have a good conscience. That's important to life. When you have disrespect for authority and your conscience doesn't work, that is bad. You know, when you goof around in church and you're talking instead of listening, you know what, and your conscience doesn't bother you, that's bad. That's bad. Now, notice the parallel here. Holding faith and a good conscience. Now remember, relative pronoun, the antecedent is the first, the closest noun to it. Isn't that right? Okay. You got to know your English. Holding faith and a good conscience. Which? Now it's talking about what? What's the antecedent to which? Conscience. The closest noun. Which some having put away. What'd they put away? A good conscience. That conscience that works. And then what does it say? Concerning faith hath made shipwreck. Now, we live in the Western world. Now, if you don't understand this, the Western world thinks differently than other parts of the world. And the Western world marvels and boasts in its intellectual thinking. Now, most Westerners don't think very well today because they've thrown away didactic thinking and they've adopted dialectic thinking, which is just throw all the mud into the puddle and I'll make it all equal and whatever comes out is fine. Didactic thinking is logical. You know, this is logical, this is right, and we this is truth, and we go from truth to truth. We just don't put it all in a big pot and everybody's opinion counts. But you know what? The Bible says there's something that's bigger than your brain. When you're studying the Bible, there's something bigger than your brain. And you know, you hear young people, college young people, and they say, well, you know, I tell you what I think. And they say, well, I don't necessarily agree with that. You know what they're saying? That's their opinion. That's what they're thinking. But the problem is, in the Bible, there's something that controls your and influences your thinking ability. And you know what it is? Your conscience. Your conscience controls or influences your thinking ability. And if you don't have a good conscience and you study this Bible, you will not be able to come to right conclusions. Now, that's what my Bible says. Holding faith and a good conscience, which some have been put away, what? Good conscience. Have done what? Concerning faith, made shipwreck. The apostasy of the day, you know, the people heading up the apostasy, many of them are brains. You know what I mean by brains? They got a big IQ. And people say, oh man, that guy's really smart. He must know what he's talking about. Now, error number one, the Bible isn't known by brains. You have to use your brains. You have to interpret it correctly, use right hermeneutical principles. And the fact is, a lot of people don't even know what those are. But the real issue is, even with all of those, a good conscience. It's real simple. You know, reading the wrong books, listening to the wrong movies, going to the wrong places. Oh, all of a sudden their convictions started changing. Oh, isn't that amazing? They used to say, there's no question about it. I believe that a lady ought to dress like a lady and wear, you know, a dress and be feminine and modest. And then all of a sudden, you know, a few years later, I don't believe that anymore. Why don't you just go check out the movies they've been watching for the last few years? Or other things like that. Guarantee you, that's how it works. That's what the Bible says. Holding a good conscience. And you know what? We don't like to put that in our formula. We don't like to admit what the Bible says, that if we violate our conscience and if you have been walking with God and you know the Bible and you get convictions and you start going against them, and guess what? You're going to be in bad shape. That's what's happened to America, and that's what happened to fundamentalism. And that's what happens to young people, and that's what happens to old people. They think up here. No, Bible says right here. Right here. Now think of this in another sense. The Bible says this in another way, in a different sense, 1 Timothy 3:9. Now talking about deacons. It says, likewise, must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre. By the way, not given to much wine, it's talking about grape juice. You know what? You wouldn't think too much of Mr. Raines if you know he went through five cases of Mountain Dew every week. You'd say, where's his self-control? Isn't that little out of balance? It's not talking about alcoholic beverage, it's talking about grape juice. But notice it says, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith. In what? In a pure conscience. Now, this is a little bit different than a good conscience. This is better than a good conscience. A good conscience is one that operates correctly. A pure conscience is a conscience that is rightly informed, knows the Bible, knows the truth, not a novice. It's rightly informed. That's a pure conscience. You know, there are some people who don't know much of the Bible, and they go by their conscience, but it's not rightly informed. And it doesn't bother them. They do this or they do that, and it doesn't bother them because they never study the Bible. They don't know what's right and wrong. But a pure conscience. Now, notice there's holding the faith with a pure conscience. That's a huge order. That's how you hold the faith. That's how you hold the faith. You know, a good deacon is like an anchor in a church. No way, we're not changing. It's the way it is. Praise God. Churches need that. And it says that you got to, you know, how to keep, hold the faith. Huh. You know what it says? Pure conscience. Yeah. You know what's amazing? You let down your guard and you start doing some things and you start, you know, let's just say you start watching some TV or some movies or something that, you know, and you get in this entertainment mode. Isn't it amazing how all of a sudden you lose the sharpness of the Holy Spirit? And all of a sudden, you know, let's not be so fuddy-duddy. Hey, let's just have fun. Isn't that amazing how that works? That's how it works, exactly. Now, as we think about that, we see a seared conscience, 1 Timothy 4. It says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly, in the latter days some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created, to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Okay, so here it is. Here's this religious leader, and the Bible says they're giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And one of their doctrines is, nope, can't get married. Celibacy of priests. Can't eat meat on Friday. Bible says that's doctrine of the devil. And they stand up there with this big wand and they go, holy, proclaim, thou shalt not marry a holy priesthood. Bible says this, They have a seared conscience. You know what a seared conscience is? Well, you know, which kind of cows have horns? Bulls or cows? How many say bulls have horns? How many say mama cows don't have horns? It's not true. They all have horns. So you got to burn them off. And we had a burning day the other day. Oh, it was delightful. And we had to hold the path down. And we took that hot iron, you know. And, you know, you put it on there. And at first, you know, not too bad. But, you know, after a while, you know, they used to get pretty lively, you know. But after a while, it's just sizzling. You know what happened? All the nerve endings got branded. That's what happened. They got branded and they don't feel anything anymore. And that's what a seared conscience is. It's like Benny Hinn. And guys like that, these fakes, they're crooks, they're fakes. You know, they got their wife interviewing somebody out in the audience and say, oh, what's your problem? Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, okay. And then they, you know, this is the top of the technology, and then they'd be telling the guy up on the stage, well, there's somebody out here who's got this problem, you know, and so this fake preacher gets up there and says, ah, God just told me there's somebody here, you know, there's somebody here that has a sore kneecap, you know, and God just told me that they need to come up here and we're going to heal them. Well, God didn't tell him, his wife told him. You know what that's called? Conscience seared with a hot iron. Speaking lies and hypocrisy. They are such a fake. Their conscience doesn't bother them. They can preach in the name of God and be the biggest liar on earth. Conscience doesn't work at all. Wow. That's bad, isn't it? That's bad. I know some people have so violated their conscience, it doesn't bother them anymore. They can look at their parents right in the face and say a bold-faced lie. That's because they violated their conscience over and 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 over. You know, conscience is a pretty important thing. Conscience is a pretty important thing. Maybe you're here tonight and you need to clear your conscience. And that is, I would say, I remember the time when, what was his name? The evangelist was here. Can't think of his name right now, but this is about 10 years ago. He's preaching in school. And he said, you want to get right with God? Write down every sin that you know that you have in your life. Every one of them. Every one of them. Not just some of them. Every single one of them. Write them all down. And now go talk to somebody. Go talk to one of the authorities. And you know, I remember after that, walking up through the schoolroom, school hallway. And there were groups of kids kneeling down in groups, praying. They were praying. Everyone was praying. Everyone was praying, and they were joyful. They're praising God. They had cleared their conscience for the first time in years. That's a clear conscience. You know what? A clear conscience is really important. And preachers preaching for revival say, can't have revival unless people get their conscience clear. But when you do, the Spirit of God is free to work. And there's nothing like it. A clear conscience. A clear conscience. Wow. This is one of those subjects that we don't often preach on. You don't hear too much preaching on it. But if you think about what's going on today, and you think of all the sin available through the internet, through the phone, iPhones, through the phones, through technology, and how easy it is for anybody, and especially young people, now you understand what's going on. Now you understand what's going on. Now you understand why young people losing their convictions has nothing to do with the Bible. It has to do with their conscience. That's all a part of the apostasy, the falling away of the last days. Is God speaking to your heart? Your future depends on a good conscience. Your and my spiritual future depends on a good conscience. And if you think you can just go into sin and just put it under the rug and it's fine, doesn't work that way. You need to get it right with the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, thank you tonight that we can deal with a very, very important subject. And Lord, right here in our midst, Lord, we could have revival right tonight. And there could be a start of revival, Lord. By young people going to their parents and letting the cat out of the bag, Lord, getting it right. About adults being honest with themselves and with their spouses and with their spiritual authorities. About what they've allowed into their life and thought it wouldn't affect their faith, their convictions, their direction. And Lord, this is the serious truth of the hour. And while the Spirit of God is speaking, you're here tonight and you say, you know, God's working in my heart. Maybe you'd have to say, you know, I have a seared conscience. There must be so many sins in your life that you have just allowed over and over that your conscience doesn't hardly even work. And God is speaking to your heart. And say, boy, I really need to get some things right with God. You're here tonight and you say, you know, my conscience, I've been going against my conscience and I've been losing my convictions. And I thought it was just that I got smarter. No, you didn't get smarter. You hurt your conscience. The Lord is speaking to you tonight about your conscience and about getting that right with God. And you say, Pastor, pray for me. God has spoken my heart tonight. I need to deal with my conscience. The Spirit of God is dealing with anyone here tonight. Raise your hand and say, Pastor, pray with me. God spoke my heart. Okay? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Lord, thank you for the truth of your word, for tender hearts. I pray that, Lord, that you would bless those who responded. I pray, Lord, for those who are even now trying to stifle their conscience. Lord, I pray that they'll realize they're fighting against thee and their soul as well and their future. Lord, give us victory in this. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.